Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in through Conversations Radio Network, we welcome you. Those joining us on the radio dial in my home state of Mississippi, WYAD 94.1 FM, we're glad you all could tune in with us today, as well as those joining us on the East Coast in Atlanta at 106 Live. We're glad to have all of you with us. The group Cranky George may have began in Los Angeles, but they have definitely been able to create music that has been able to reach across this country and thanks to the Internet around the world. We're excited to welcome James of the group to our program today to talk to him not only about the journey of the group, but also about their newest project that's already getting a lot of attention. It's called That Lot of Good. If you're just now hearing about the project, you guys will hear two selections from the album, as well as find out how you can be able to get it for yourself. James, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Cyrus. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. First of all, congratulations to the group on the new project. You know, one of the things I noticed when I was prepping for your segment, James, is that, you know, you all have been able to not only, of course, to share your music with your fans, but one of the things that you posted on Twitter was a great photo of the group performing, and then, of course, to be able to see the audience there for the album release. I mean, what was that like for you to kind of see the response from the audience?
You mean like a live response from an audience?
Exactly.
I've been thriving on that for the past 30 years, because I don't know if your prep went as far as discovering that I was in a group, quite a seminal kind of watershed type of punky Irish group called the Pogues, back in the day, which started in 1982. And it's through live work, essentially, with the Pogues that I think that the Pogues became successful to discover their community to begin with. I mean, and the community right at the very start with the Pogues was, relatives, actually, to begin with, and some chums from some of the buildings around where we used to live in King's Cross, London. And then as soon as... what made us take off was that the community suddenly got, in the space of maybe a month or two, doubled in size when the people in the locality realized that he was one of their own, going out there and playing some exciting music. And I think with Cranky George, it's a similar experience to start off with your chums coming to your gigs and to identify a local place to play. Have you heard of the group Flogging Molly?
Right, I have.
They're a kind of Pogues spin-off band, but the reason for their name came from Molly Malone's in Los Angeles, that they played a residency. I don't know how long it was for, but it was quite a long time, and they had no idea what to call their band, so they called it Flogging Molly, since that's where they were playing week after week. And we've taken over Molly Malone's for our gigs of late. We would like to go further afield, of course, but that's, I like the idea of a community and a locality and a focal point for people to come and see us play. But your question was, right, like, what was it like?
Right.
Really fantastic to have friends old and new come down to the launch party the other week. We hadn't sold out Molly's before, but this was our first.
Right.
And there's some raffles and things like that to make it an occasion. Live is the way that I've always done it, and
right,
I think it's if you build it, people will come.
For sure. Now, you actually yourself on your personal account, James, had tweeted about a few days ago, actually, about how this is for you, you know, a new record, I mean, in a little while. I mean, this album, I think, is so interesting. I mean, there's a lot of ways for people to be able to get it. Of course, they can go to the website for the group, Cranky George, and we'll be reminding people of that a little bit later. When I went over there, though, to be able to listen to the music and to be able, of course, to listen to the words and to really pay attention to the words, it really seems as though storytelling is a big part of this group. Do you think that's been part of the connection that the audiences make, is that your ability to tell a story through song?
Yeah, I guess. I think songwriting is, in my view, I mean, well, not always, but the songs I've always been familiar with, and not familiar, but the songs that I've liked have always told a story, even through the chord structure. I don't want to get too musicologist about this, but like in the best blues, is you get a blues tune song that will, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it again, and because I'm saying it again, the meaning changes somehow. And then I'm going to say, well, the reason why I've said this is because this. And then the last line is, and the result of me saying all these things was that. And there's a little story right there. Blues does that really well. Folk does that really well. It's the folk thing that I'm more familiar with, I suppose, really. I mean, the Pogues, chief songwriter, was a great storyteller too in his songs, and also the Nobel, you know, prize winner for literature, you know, Bob Dylan was a great storyteller, and a great storyteller not just through words but through the harmonic structure of his songs too, if that makes any sense.
It does. It does. And I think, you know, I bring that up because the first song we're going to be listening to here, James, is Tunnel of Love. And,
yeah.
You know, and in that, of course, you have this roller coaster ride, as it were, of love, about what the experience is like, for sure. I want to let our audience take a listen to it for those who have not had a chance to hear it, James, and then we're going to come back and talk more about it, okay?
Cool.
Here is Tunnel of Love, again, from the group Frankie George, their new project, Fat Lot of Good. We'll be back with more of our conversation with James right after this, so stay tuned. Tunnel of Love by the group Cranky George, their new project, Fat Lot of Good. We're actually speaking with James from the group today, talking with him not only about the musical journey that he's been able to be on, but also the response to the new project. You know, to go back to what I was saying earlier, James, about the lyrics and about the storytelling, I mean, a big part of that song is something that I think men and women can both relate to, especially, you know, where it says, you tried your luck in the tunnel of love, but there wasn't any love in the tunnel of love. I think that is the thing. I mean, love seems to be a theme for you guys to be able to discuss. I mean, is that because it's something that is so universal that everyone can kind of relate to?
Yeah, I guess it's a universal thing. Love, loss, regret, romance, all that kind of stuff. It's littered throughout the record. I can't think of much more to say than that. I rather enjoyed the listening to that again, actually, over the telephone, which I've not heard it over the telephone before, but to concentrate on the words and the imagery, particularly.
Right.
In the song, not just the verbal imagery, but also the musical imagery as well, with the toy piano in it and the sound of the fairground and the accordion and everything. I was rather surprised what a good job we did, actually.
It really is a powerful song. It's a powerful project. Again, I got it through crankygeorge.com. We'll be reminding our audience a little bit later. That was actually the first track that is on the project. Ironically, we're going to be listening to the last track that's on the project as well.
And there's all those goodnesses in between.
Exactly.
The sandwich of those two.
Right. Now, James, let's talk about the internet, because as I mentioned earlier, you tweeted recently that, I mean, that for you it's been about 20 years since a project, but maybe if you count, you know, other projects in between, as you said in the tweet, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years. I mean, but one of the big things that has changed in the last 20 years has been the way that we talk about music, of course, like the internet, programs like this that are not only on the radio but also online. I mean, what has that been like for you to be able to see the change and the way that your music now is able to spread it more easier?
You know what? I'm going to go back to what I said before. If you go out and play, people are going to come and watch and listen and engage and take part in it. And then after that, you've kind of got to let it go. That it becomes, for me in any case, like a mysterious sort of ripple that, or a complex of ripples that spread out from your activity and your creativity and everything. It's a little bit. Maybe I'm old. I don't know. But it's just another kind of word of mouth thing. But it's a lot more echoey, if that makes any sense. But fundamentally, I think if people make music or if people create and go out there and show other people what they've done and involve them in it, then those ripples are going to happen whether we've got the internet or not. I mean, I suppose it's just a question of scale and velocity, I suppose, more than anything else.
Well, let me ask you this question as a follow-up to that then, James. Has that become a comfortable part of the conversation for you to be able to have the internet there and to use that in spreading the word about the group?
I'm more comfortable if I come at it from an oblique angle, and I'm a little bit more ironic than some maybe. I like to engage with people on Facebook and Twitter in a kind of, like an ironical sort of way. Oh, look at me, I'm using the internet to plug my stuff. Never really liked much plugging anything. I like talking about it. I enjoy doing interviews with people like you, you know, because your questions are intelligent, and it's not just a matter of oh yeah, what a great record it is, and buy it. It's not quite as barefaced as that.
Right.
When it starts to get barefaced, I'm not interested. I'm more interested in the conversation that you can start up with people over Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or your website or blogs or whatever. It's, I think conversations are more important than anything else. All right, so I wrote a book a couple of years ago. It was published in England in 2012, but it's about my, you know, the first 9 years of the Pogues. It's I'm going to plug this now unashamedly because it's a good book.
It's called
Here Comes Everybody, and it's about the story of the Pogues, not all the story of the Pogues. When I took it out on the road doing a book tour, I was so comfortable with that, to read in front of people and talk about where the book came from and how it came to be written and what my intentions were and the response that it had from members in the band. And then you get a conversation going with the people in the bookstores from San Francisco to New York when it was published here in 2014, and then up and down the country in England a couple of years before that. I got a great big kick out of that, not because I was plugging the book, but because it was felt like a contribution. Do you know what I mean? There's
right.
room for contribution in this culture rather than presentation. Do you know what I mean?
I do. Well, you know, that brings up an interesting question then. I was not planning on asking you. I should say, I mean, for our radio audience, we thought we were going to be speaking with Brad Wood today of the group. James, though, is with us, and we're excited to have James on with us as well. But, James, I want to ask you this question.
Yeah.
Because what you just shared about, you know, telling the story about going back to the Pogues even and being able to share a bit of that, what is it, do you think, has kept it fun for you? Because you know better than I do that there have been groups and individuals who have come and gone since you have been on the musical scene. What is it that has kept you coming back to music?
Me? Because that was, originally, that was my escape. I escaped my family, basically. I shouldn't say that because my family might actually hear this and think, what? What's he talking about? But there's a certain amount of, you know, I've got children myself, and they like to individuate, and you can't stop them doing that. And we want you to do that, but it's going to be difficult. You're going to want to come back and test us some more, and we're going to want to hold on to you for longer than you want us to hold on to you. But ultimately, we've got to let you go. And so music for me was a way of persuading my parents that they should probably let me go. And my dad had a similar experience with the theatre. He was an amateur dramatics person in England. He started his own amateur dramatics company in 1947, a couple of years after the war had finished. And I think that was his way of rebelling against his father and what his father wanted. How did I get onto this all of a sudden? It feels like I'm just not answering your question whatsoever.
we were talking about music being an escape.
Oh, music,
escape,
yes,
I was asking about the longevity, right. Yeah.
So that's music's like that for me, and it's my primary mode of communication with people. Although I like talking, obviously, and I like writing because I wrote a book. I like the sound of my own voice, basically. And here's another manifestation of my own voice, is how I play the accordion or how I play the guitar or how I play the piano or whatever else I can lay my hands on, basically.
Right. And, you know, there, I think that's the great thing. And that is what I think makes the group not only being able to resonate with individuals, but as I said even in the beginning of the conversation, James, that, you know, I think the other side of this is that no matter where the group may have started, whether it's Los Angeles or wherever, you all have been able to create something that people outside of that area have been able to latch on to. Even a country boy like me in Mississippi can be able to listen to and to be able to take something from. We're about to hear the next single, Nighttime, and then we're And when we come back, I want to talk about these lyric videos and how that's been a way you all have been able to share. So I want you to stay with us, James. Again, everyone, you're listening to Conversations Live. James of the group Cranky George is with us today. We're talking not only about the group's musical journey, but also about their new project that you all can get through their website at crankygeorge.com. It's called Fat Lot of Good. We'll remind you of that a little bit later. Here is Nighttime from the project. We'll be back with our final moments with James right after this.
Bye.
There you have Nighttime from the new project by Cranky George. Felt a lot of good. We've been speaking with James from the group during this segment, talking with him not only about the group's musical journey, but also about the response to the new project. Again, as I told you guys, I got those singles through crankygeorge.com. It's their official website. You guys can head over there and get it for yourself through Bandcamp as well. We definitely invite you to do that. You can also find the group's social media there as well.
It's also available on iTunes and all the other major digital downloading places too. It's like it's a broad spectrum kind of release thing. I mean, yes, of course, Bandcamp is there and all that kind of stuff, but it's all those other things too.
That's right. So wherever you guys buy your music, definitely make sure you guys pick it up. I want to go back to the last thing as we talk about, James. Again, we appreciate the time. I want to go back to how we kind of began this conversation, talking about the music and the lyrics and the words, because even with that song, one of the things that you all did, you released a lyrical video for those. I mean, what has that been like for you to add that dimension, to be able to have, you know, an opportunity for people to not only be able to hear it, but also to be able to actually know what the words are to the songs that you're singing?
Well, I suppose, you know, back in the day when I first started buying records, that you come back on the bus, from Manchester with your album cover, you know, your 12-inch, and then you'd open it up on the bus to have a look, you know, who did what, who's it produced by, what the words are, where was it made, all that sort of information. And you know, that's I sort of lament those days when there was that component to buying a record where you have a sequence and you have a side one and a side two and you've got all this material pictures to look at in a lot of cases, at least in the, like, certainly from the 70s onwards. And now that's not quite so important anymore. It's
right.
The streaming stuff where you get nothing. Videos are hard sometimes, but then that's adds another element. I find videos a bit complicated, but you have to do them, I suppose, because it's nice to see people playing instruments. I've always got a kick
right.
out of that. If I can't go and see them live, then you know, give me a performance video, and I'm very happy. But then
right.
with your lyric videos and stuff like that, I mean, yeah, yes, of course, it's a way not attracting attention, but not losing people's attention, as it were. But
sure.
I do think it's valuable too. So there's that visual component of that, you know, we don't have anymore. When you once you were able to look at the album covers and, you know, follow the songs through with lyrics, should they be, you know, released as well. I think it's another way to engage. I think it's fantastic.
It definitely is. I totally agree with that, and I'm thankful for it myself because I definitely like to pay attention to the words, and this is a project that people, I think, will really appreciate, James. Again, it's called Fat Lot of Good, available through all your favorite online retailers. Make sure you guys get it there, or you can go to crankygeorge.com again to be able to stay connected with the group and to get the music from there as well. James, thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it, and it goes without saying, you're welcome back here anytime.
That'd be fantastic. When our next project happens, then you'd be one of the first people that we speak to.
All right, James, I'm going to hold
yeah.
you to that. So I definitely appreciate
yeah.
that. I definitely want to thank our good friends at Miles High for setting up this conversation with us for today. I want to thank all of you for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with James, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media sites. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. You can click on the link there. Listen to the show completely for free, and share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music, as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.